Well, a warm welcome along to this week's Sweet Spot. Dave Clark is having a well-deserved rest, so Warren Ashurst at the helm with you, but I'm delighted to say Steve Palmer is once again with us to run us through his best golf tips of the week. And of course, we're once again proudly sponsored by AK Bets. We'll be giving you their prices throughout the show as well. Steve, firstly, I want to ask, how with the extreme heat is the shed doing today?
Well, yesterday was tough. Yeah, yesterday was tough, was a welcome to Sweet Spot. The temperature in here was so intense that I have a little temperature gauge back there and it broke. It's capitulated. It couldn't handle it. But don't worry, I battled through, took the shirt off a couple of times, if you must know. I've got it all sussed this week. I'm excited about this week.
Excellent. We will reflect on last week in a moment or so. And then, of course, we'll look ahead to the three big tournaments that we've got to look forward to this week. Just to remind you of the AK Bets offer. They are the sponsor, of course, of the Sweet Spot, and they have an excellent brand new welcome offer for you. Place your first bet on any golf market and get 50% off your stake back as a free bet up to £25. Terms and conditions apply. Use the code SWEETSPOT25 when signing up. Well, let's reflect then, firstly, Steve, on what happened last week, starting with the Women's Olympics event at the Golf Nationale. And of course, it was Lydia Ko who won by two shots. She's got a full collection now. I'm not sure how many athletes can say they've got a gold, silver and bronze, but that's an impressive mantelpiece.
Yes, an interesting question. Get the commentators to answer that one, because I don't know whether there's any other athlete that's done it. I mean, it's certainly the only one in golf, and it's an incredible achievement. I personally am pleased to see the back of the Olympics was a. I mean, it was great for the neutral, both entertaining events, the men's and the women's. But yeah, I got a little bit overexcited, I think. Yeah, because they're small fields, you see, was a. Mm. Whenever I get a small field event, I get very excited. 60 runners, you think, come on, we've got a great chance here. But they were still very competitive affairs. You have so many possible winners. And yeah, I landed on the wrong ones. You know, Lydia Ko was a bet based on just her Olympic pedigree, as you say, because she had the bronze and the silver already on her mantelpiece. And now she's added the gold, and she's done it so quickly, you know, to do that 2016, 2020 and 2024. Yeah, I think it's an achievement that will never be matched, certainly in the golf game. And it's a shame she's not going for it in 2028. I mean, I guess she just feels she's had enough. I mean, I was surprised. I don't know whether you know, was it, but she said she's not going to tee up in 2028 in the next Olympics. I think maybe babies might be on the horizon. Yeah. I don't know. She's only 27. And I was thinking, blimey, she can get even more because she's by far New Zealand's best player. She would definitely qualify for that if she wanted to. But I guess she's moving on to bigger and better things, and who can blame her?
Well, I suppose once you've got the full set, there's maybe nothing else to go for after that. So focusing instead on the LPGA Tour. Let's cross over to the USPGA Tour from last week, because the Wyndham Championship, Steve, was won by Aaron Rye. I know we didn't necessarily tip Aaron Rye up, but for any neutrals, we'd probably be delighted for him, bearing in mind the way that he's played in recent months.
Yeah, very likable character. You know, Wolverhampton lad, mild-mannered, you know, impeccable manners, looks after his clubs, you know, famously. When he was given his clubs as a kid, he was polishing them every night, making sure they're in great condition. He's just got a great work ethic. And I think every neutral, again, was delighted for both winners last week. I mean, Lydia Ko is one of the nicest humans on the planet. It's clear to see. And Aaron Rye is up there as well. And Sedgefield, an ideal layout for him. You know, I've been guilty of underestimating him in the past. I don't like backing short hitters these days. You put him on the right course, and his driving accuracy is incredible. And his DP World Tour breakthrough came in the Hong Kong Open, Warren, which is one of the tightest tracks in the world. And now his PGA Tour breakthrough has come on in a similar assignment. So yeah, I'm kicking myself for not backing Aaron Rye. But yeah, we had a decent run from Billy Horschel. I don't know if you were following Billy Horschel, Warren.
Yeah, I saw that. Was it top six in the end, Billy Horschel?
He tied seventh with a few others. Depending on how you played it, whether you got a return. But I mean, I woke up on Saturday morning absolutely buzzing about the prospects ahead, because Rose Zhang in the Women's Olympics, Rose Zhang was in the final group of the Olympics. And I was very hopeful that the Rose Zhang Billy Horschel double was going to come in. And you may not be seeing me now had it done. But Zhang's very young. She's 21. She found it a little bit too much. The experience of Ko showed in that final group, and Zhang couldn't hang on in there. And Billy boy, Daily Boy, you know, Dave Clark needed a holiday after that. He's a big West Ham fan, so I know he was getting excited about the fact I was tipping a West Ham fella. And he opened with a 62. So is it put, that put him in second place. And then he went into Sunday only two shots behind. You know, Sunday was an epic day. I don't know what you did on Wazza. Well, what you do? So I'm obsessed with calling you Wazza. Do you mind me calling
that's
you
fine.
Wazza?
That's fine.
It's just it's either you or Wayne Rooney. I, there's only two people I call Wazza. Wayne Rooney's not going to talk to me. I had a good bet on Sheffield Wednesday on Sunday. Yeah. But I don't know what you were doing on Sunday. But yeah, the coverage came on at 12:45 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. Two rounds of golf ahead, and wife and kids were away in Brighton, so I had the entire day to me and the dog watched. You know, a ridiculous amount of golf. And Billy Boy put us through the ringer. He made only five birdies in those 36 holes that I watched, you know, shattered my dreams.
I hope Sweet Spot regulars are really sort of taking into account your efforts here, because Sunday was a gloriously sunny day and you're sat inside with a dog watching golf for probably about 7 or 8 hours. That's it.
This is it. But I've got the neediest dog in the world. I mean, this dog is one you can't leave alone. I don't know if you got a dog, Warren.
No, I used to when I was younger.
Don't bother. I mean, get the right dog, because this dog if I left her, she'd just whine and whine and whine. And so I couldn't go out for very long if I did go out. But yeah, obviously it was the ultra professionalism that kept me there. Well, it was the Billy Horschel hope that kept me there. I had a little spell of watching Sheffield Wednesday for a bit until they got the job done there. That was a good bet. We can talk football if you want.
Well, I'd love to be able to dip into the football now and again, but we'll keep it to golf for now, Steve. I can't leave the Wyndham Championship without asking you about Matt Kuchar, because social media has been blowing up this week. And on occasions, I will say way over the top, but on this occasion, I think they've been absolutely spot on.
Yeah. I think so. I was disgusted by what I saw. He's spoken afterwards and tried to justify it, but I think it was just a hissy fit, wasn't it? You know, he's pulled his drive. He's angry with how the day's gone, and he's decided to take it all out on everyone, because it's not just him who had to get up the next day and at 8 o'clock in the morning. You've got the volunteers, you know, the scoreboard people, the shot trackers. You know, the people have to open the golf course the next day. There's a lot of other people that were inconvenienced by him doing that. And, you know, he's got so much money in the bank. He couldn't qualify. He couldn't qualify for the FedEx playoffs, no matter what happened. So even if you make a 10, just make a 10 there and then and let everyone go home and finish the tournament. So, yeah, I think we all know Kuchar. He's got a checkered history, should we say, Warren. Mm. I mean, yeah, remember when he shortchanged the local caddy and when he won in Mexico. I think he lacks a bit of class, and that was another example of that. It was an incredible end to that tournament, wasn't it? Yeah, we're keen to move on to our three tournaments, but we can't go on without mentioning Max Grazeman, can we? Max Grazeman, four shots ahead with five holes to play. then he made a snowman at the par 4 14th. Bit unlucky. His drive hit the cart path and then went out of bounds, and it was horrific from there. So he dropped four shots in one hole to just surrender his four shot lead. And then he four putted the 16th hole for a double bogey, and it was getting quite dark. So I did feel for Max Grazeman. It was a choke, but it wasn't as bad as John Rahm's choke in the Olympics, but it was a choke.
No, and for somebody with kind of not the experience of John Rahm, that's a difficult situation to be in.
Yeah. He was talking a good game afterwards, Max Grazeman, saying he's taking the positives. You know, if you're leading a PGA Tour event by four shots with five holes to go, you're doing something right. He was doing the classic taking the positives, but he looked like he was going to cry, to be honest with you.
I don't blame him. Our reflections then on last week's two events. We've got three to look forward to this week. I know you like your chronological order, Steve. Yes. So we're going to go with the DP World Tour first off. Czech Masters at the PGA National Oaks course. Let's start off with giving us a bit of detail in terms of the course and what we can expect this week.
Yes, the PGA National Oaks, Prague, Czech Republic, 7,592 yards, par 72, four par fives. The Czech Masters has been staged at the Albatross Resort since 2014. So we've got a new venue for the 10th anniversary of this tournament. This course was only opened in the summer of 2020. Kyle Phillips who created Kingsbarns. You know, Kingsbarns widely regarded as a masterpiece. Carl Phillips was the course designer of this one too. It looks an interesting layout. I mean, when you get a new course, you have to really dig deep to you know, find out more about it. And it, you know, it's tight at the start, opens up in the middle, and then tight again at the end. Lots of oak trees, lots of knee-high rough, streams, ravines, lots of dog legs, firm greens. I mean, I think it's more difficult than the previous venue. Lots of strategy involved, accuracy, strong course management. So we got sunny, warm, calm conditions for the vast majority of the event. 156 going to post.
We'll get Steve's picks in a moment. Let's just run you through the latest prices with AK Bets. Tom McKibben leads the way at 16-1. Matthew Jordan at 20-1. Bernd Wiesberger, 22-1. Three players at 25-1. Ewan Ferguson, Richard Mansell and Ryo Hitsasani. And 28 and bigger the rest. How many selections for the Checkmaster, Steve?
We got five. I mean, I know you're a football fan. We've got a 5-3-2 formation this week in the three tournaments, an actual football formation.
Excellent. And who is the main pick for the Checkmasters?
It is Tom McKibben, which won't surprise regular Sweet Spot viewers. 16-1 is a great price. I know I've been extremely loyal this year to Tom McKibben. I expect that loyalty to be rewarded in spades in the years to come. This is a 21-year-old who's developed into one of the most complete ball strikers on the circuit. Powerful, but accurate as well. His swing is a thing of beauty, free-flowing. It's such a joyous swing. It's just such a fun swing to have, Warren. You know, he looks like he's having fun out there, and he's getting results as well. He's been a leaderboard mainstay on the DP World Tour this season. 11 top 25 finishes in 15 starts this year. And on the four occasions he's finished outside the top 25, they're easy to forgive. The first was when he had tonsillitis in Singapore. The second was his US Open debut. He tied 41st. He played with Scotty Scheffler in the final round and matched Scheffler's score. So a great performance. The third was a miscut on the mark in the Scottish Open. He missed a lot of short putts, 69-69. No dramas there, really. And then last time out, he finished 66th on his Open debut. Again, no disgrace in that. Making the cut on your Open debut is a good effort for me. He was probably pretty mentally drained by the end of the week, I think, because he had a lot of high-profile practice rounds with Rory McIlroy, Darren Clark, Ryan Fox, Minwoo Lee. Yeah, he really enjoyed his Open debut, but I think he was a bit jaded by the weekend. He hasn't put a foot wrong for me this year, McKibben. Just relentless consistency. I think he's going to win a second DP World Tour title on Sunday.
Well, he's been threatening, and will it be this week? Tom McKibben is the main selection. 2 of 5, who's the second one, Steve?
Bernd Wiesberger, 22-1, another Sweet Spot regular, another consistent ball striker. There's plenty of danger on this week's track, as I mentioned. I think McKibben and Wiesberger are best equipped to plot a safe passage along this long but dangerous course. He settled so nicely back into DP World Tour life. Obviously, his live days are behind him now. He's chasing a ninth DP World Tour title. It's easy to forget how successful Wiesberger's been on this circuit. Like McKibben, Wiesberger's been a top 25 machine this year. He tied second in the European Open in June. Then he was seventh in the KLM Open, 16th in the BMW International. And he's really hungry for competition, Wazza, because he was controversially barred by the PGA Tour from the recent co-sanctioned events, the ISCO Championship and the Barracuda Championship. The PGA Tour said he couldn't play in them. So he's had a month off. I think he would have got to Prague quite early to practice at this new course. It's a short journey for him, of course. You know, he's hopped over the border from Austria. So if Wiesberger putts half decent, he's by far the biggest danger to McKibben.
I just wonder with how well Bernd Wiesberger done since he's come back to the DP World Tour, whether some of the live golfers might be tempted to switch allegiances.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite heartwarming that he was missing the DP World Tour because, yeah. You know, I think Wiesberger's status is such that he wouldn't have been told to leave. You know, I think it was his decision entirely to leave the live circuit. I think he preferred playing close to home in Europe, and he paid his fines, and he's back where he feels he belongs. It is a heartwarming story, and he's still getting some stick on the Twitter sphere and that from people when he wasn't happy about being left out of those PGA Tour events. Mm-hmm. People still giving him loads of stick, but I think they should stop giving him stick because I think this is a man who's, you know, realised his heart is with the DP World Tour. And yeah. So, yeah, leave off Bernd and back him this week.
Yeah, Bernd Wiesberger, the second selection. Who are we going with pick number three, Steve?
It's Daniel Brown. I know you're a proud Yorkshireman, Wazza. So you would have enjoyed Dan Brown's performance in the Open Championship. I mean, he's 50-1 with AK Betts. And, you know, given that huge injection of confidence he had at Royal Troon, I think he's well worth following at that price. I mean, he was chalked up at any price you like for the Open. He was a qualifier, and it was an incredible performance. He led after round one and just hung around on the leaderboard for a ludicrously long time, given his odds. He was making his major debut, mixing it with superstars, and he was cool as a cucumber. I don't know whether all Yorkshiremen are like that, was it? Are you also cool?
But, I'd love to say that I'm like that on a golf course, but clearly not.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I just assumed he would fall away quicker because of the status of the players around him, the occasion, how many cuts he'd missed this year. But he's a real cool dude, isn't he? And he's smoking his cigarettes from the way around as if it was just a casual walk in the park. And you know, he couldn't have impressed me more. Hardly missed a fairway. His driving accuracy was incredible. He ended up in 10th place. So he banked an enormous check, and it set him up lovely for the rest of the season. He made his DP World Tour breakthrough almost exactly a year ago. Seems to come alive in the summer. By far his best result of 2018 was 5th place in the Prague Golf Challenge, which was played in July of that year. He tied 14th in his Czech Masters debut last August. So this is his time of the year, and I think he's gonna finish the season strong.
Okay, so three selections so far for the Czech Masters. Two more to come. Who's pick number four, Steve?
We're going big prices now, and it's Lukas Nemec, 110-1 with AK Betts. Another Austrian to go with Wiesberger. I've got three Austrians in my staking plan this week. As I say, Czech Republic borders Austria. Preparation easy for these guys. Nemec, you know, will be excited to be arriving in such solid form. He was 27th in the BMW International last month, then 45th in the ISCO Championship, 13th in the Barracuda Championship. So those two co-sanctioned PGA Tour, DP World Tour events, the ones that Wiesberger was desperate to play in, Nemec has banked a couple of healthy checks. He's an accurate player. He's won three times on the Alps Tour. I think he's worth chancing for a DP World Tour breakthrough at a big price.
There's a big price. I have to say, he's a player that I've not heard of before. Is he a recently new addition to the DP World Tour, or is he somebody who's been on the fringes for a while?
Yeah, not been on there that long, but just a neat and tidy player. And there's so much trouble here. Yeah, this course, you know, there's hidden water traps everywhere. I was reading some reviews of players that have played it, you know, amateur players that have played it, and they think they've hit a good drive, and then they suddenly find their ball in a tiny little ravine that a blind ravine and stuff. So I think course management is going to be important this week. And, tidy players like Nemec could make an impression.
Right. Our fifth and final selection for the Czech Masters. Where are we going here, Steve?
It's another Austrian, and it's another tidy Austrian. It is Matthias Schwab. Matthias Schwab, 100-1 with AK Betts, a formerly exceptional amateur. He had a brilliant amateur career. He's twice finished second on the DP World Tour. He was fourth in the WGC HSBC Champions in 2019. He's had 7 top fives on the DP World Tour, and one of them came in the 2019 Czech Masters. I've seen enough from him this year to give him a whirl at those prizes. He was 8th in the China Open in May, 10th in the Italian Open in June. He had a couple of narrow missed cuts in those two stateside co-sanctioned events I mentioned. This is a quality player in a weak grade, worth an each way tickle.
Okay, that's 5 selections from Steve. Just before we leave the Czech Masters, was there anybody else, Steve, that you had on your potential list that you kind of just steered away from?
No, sir. I've just checked. No, this fell into my lap. I don't like having 5, so I was looking to narrow it down, if anything, but there was no one else I was remotely interested in.
Okay, well, that wraps up the Czech Masters and on the DP World Tour, which gets underway on Thursday, of course. Sticking with the chronological order, we're going to cross the Atlantic to head to the US PGA Tour and the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And what a field we have for this as well. Scotty Scheffler is the 4-1 favourite with AK Betts. Xander Schauffele, 8-1. Rory McIlroy, 11-1. Colin Morikawa, 14-1. Ludvig Hebert, 22-1. Patrick Cantlay and Tommy Fleetwood, both 25-1. and it's bigger the rest. Steve, this is an absolute cracking field. It should be a brilliant event. Tell us a bit about TPC Southwind first.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's a real treat, and it was. You feel like the season's winding down a bit, and then you get this field in front of you, and you're salivating. It's TPC Southwind, Memphis, Tennessee, 7,243 yards, par 70, only two par fives. This is the first of three FedEx Cup playoff events. So we've got a field of 70 going to post this week. There's no cut, and then the top 50 in the standings will progress to next week's BMW Championship. And then the top 30 qualify for the Tour Championship, the season-ending Tour Championship with the Mega Bucks waiting. So TPC Southwind has hosted a PGA Tour event since 1989, but the course had an extensive overhaul at the end of 2004. It's been one of the most difficult tracks on the circuit since then. The final St. Jude Classic was in 2018, and then Southwind staged the WGC St. Jude Invitational from 2019 through 2021, then it became what it is now in 2022, the first FedEx Cup playoff event, the FedEx St. Jude Championship. So it's a stiff examination of ball striking, was a tight layout, demands accuracy. We've got sunny, hot, calm conditions.
I bet Scotty Scheffler's desperate for a break. I just keep looking and seeing him on the list every week and thinking, he's just had a child recently. He's just won an Olympic gold medal. He probably wants a break.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, we'll come to the market leaders afterwards because I haven't tipped any of the market leaders, and we'll have a good chat with Scotty, but I think your instincts are right there.
We have a hat-trick of picks. Steve said he's going to have a 5-3-2 formation this week. Who is the first of the three selections then, Steve?
This is it. This is our midfield, and Patrick Cantlay is 25-1 with AK Betts. Cantlay determined to end a PGA Tour victory drought, which is almost up to the two-year mark. His last win came in the FedEx Cup playoffs, the 2022 BMW Championship. His playoffs record is magnificent. He won the BMW Championship in 2021 as well. He won the Tour Championship in 2021. He won the FedEx Cup in 2021. Banked a $15 million bonus check, which came with the FedEx Cup. I mean, he loves money, does Patrick Cantlay. There's no getting away from it. And he would admit that himself, highly motivated by money. And the FedEx Cup playoffs really turn him on. And from his current position of 11th in the FedEx standings, he knows he needs a couple of good weeks in Memphis to set himself up for potentially another FedEx Cup. He'll be thrilled with his form coming into the playoffs. He likes performing in the playoffs, and the recent signs have been really positive. He was third in the US Open in June. He was fifth in the Travelers Championship and then 25th in the Open. So Patty Ice, as they like to call him, has got his game in order, come into a course which suits him. He finished 12th on his Southwind debut in 2019. He built some experience at the track, and then he almost won there last year. He closed with a 64, forced a playoff against Lucas Glover. You might think that sounds a straightforward playoff to win, but Glover was buzzing at the time, if you remember rightly. He'd won the previous week. He won the Wyndham Championship, and Glover beat Cantlay in that playoff. I think Cantley's going to get revenge on Glover. I think he's going to get revenge on Southwind. He's the number one choice.
We thought it was dark at the Wyndham Championship last week. If Patrick Cantlay's there at the top of the leaderboard, it might be a very dark and late finish at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. So Patrick Cantlay is the first of three tips. Steve, who's the second?
Hideki Matsuyama! 33-1 with AK Betts. What has he been drinking this morning? Hideki Matsuyama was thrilled to claim an Olympic medal last time out. He was under so much pressure in the 2020 Olympics. Some of you remember, was it? The 2020 Olympics in Japan.
Yeah.
Hideki Matsuyama was one of the faces of the Japanese Olympic lineup. And he narrowly missed out on a medal. He finished fourth. And the relief on his face when he won the bronze in Paris was such, joy to see, really. And he deserved it. He played some brilliant golf. He led for a long way. He's played brilliant golf for much of this year. The final round 62 at Riviera to win the Genesis Invitational by three shots in February was like computer game golf. It was just ludicrously good quality. He was sixth at Sawgrass, eighth in the Memorial, sixth in the US Open. Just an elite player, former Masters champion, of course. When Hideki Matsuyama is healthy, he is one of the best in the business, and he seems to be fully fit at the moment. His Southwind form figures were progressive through the WGC there, 43-22. He was a playoff loser, like Cantlay, playoff loser in 2021. He was too injured to play in 2022, and then he was 16th last year. His accurate iron play, a huge asset. The greens at Southwind are small. So, yeah, the pride of Japan. Exciting. Very excited to back Hideki Matsuyama.
Big price then for Matsuyama. So far, Patrick Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama, and we have got a third selection for the FedEx and Jude Championship. And who's that, Steve?
Adam Scott at 66-1 with AK Betts, who's always loved teeing up at Southwind. He made his debut in 2007 in the St. Jude Classic and finished seventh. Then, 10 years later, he came for his second appearance and finished 10th in the St. Jude Classic. And then subsequent Southwind results of 40-36-5. Always had the long game class to handle this layout. He's twice won a FedEx Cup playoffs event. He won the Tour Championship in 2006. He's playing well enough to contend again now. Even Bobby McIntyre's biggest fans, we all love Bobby McIntyre, but I think even Bobby McIntyre's biggest fans will concede there was an element of luck to that Scottish Open victory last month. A fortunate free drop from beside a sprinkler in the heavy rough. The man who suffered most was Adam Scott, who probably would have won that Scottish Open had there not been a sprinkler head in the heavy rough, which was quite a queer event. And Scott followed up that second place in the Scottish Open with 10th place in the Open Championship. Again, former world number one, Masters champion, the pedigree's there, and he's still got bundles to offer. He's only 44. Don't know how old you are, was it? But 44-year-olds still got plenty to offer.
Yeah, he's younger than me, so he's
younger than me.
Years. No, I have to say I've been really impressed with Adam Scott this year, the way that he's bounced back, similar to what Justin Rose did in the past as well, actually. So Adam Scott, the third selection for the FedEx and Jude Championship. We have to talk about those at the top of the league betting as well, Steve. We mentioned Scottie Scheffler briefly before. You put off then by the fact that he's played so much golf of late?
I think you're absolutely right with your instincts there. I think, and also his course form is nothing to write home about. I think surely he switches off a bit mentally over the next fortnight, you know, and then knuckles down for the Tour Championship. His thoughts now will be on the Tour Championship. I can't play at 4-1 for this one. I think he's just looking to tick the engine over and then give everything at East Lake, because he's going to have a great FedEx Cup position going into East Lake no matter what happens over the next 2 weeks. He's in a fantastic position in the standings. I'm with you. I just can't see him being at full throttle this week.
I need you to put your psychological hat on now, because there's two players that we need to look at here in terms of how they're going to react this week. One being Rory McIlroy and the second being Tom Kim after what happened at the Olympics. I don't know, sort of from a mental perspective, where they're going to be or how they're going to be switched on for this week. But I assume that comes into the thinking as well when looking at them.
Well, McIlroy's more tempting for me than Xander Schauffele. The argument for Xander Schauffele, the second favourite 8-1, is similar to Scheffler's. Again, neither of them have got very good course records by their standards. And is Schauffele going to be switched on for this one? You know, the final round of the Olympics was a real disappointment. May have been a sign that the well has run dry. This has been an epic season for Schauffele, two majors. And yeah, American golf writers are getting so excited about this Player of the Year award as if it matters. You know, nobody really cares about this Player of the Year award. It's voted for, I think, by the American golf writers, which is probably why they're so into it. But, it's obviously between Scheffler and Schauffele, but I don't think the players care. And I think both of them are just going to mentally switch off for a fortnight. They know they're going to be very prominent on the starting grid, potentially 1 and 2 on the starting grid for the Tour Championship. So there's nothing for them to really play for. So I think Scheffler and Schauffele are going for the motions. McIlroy, I think, is a bigger price than those two. He's 11-1 with AK Betts, and it's more tempting because his Southwind record is eye-catchingly good. The course sets up perfect for him. And he's more vulnerable in the FedEx Cup standings. He needs to repel the people just behind him. He's third in the standings. But if you look at the points, Scheffler and Schauffele are miles clear. And McIlroy could get swamped a little bit if he doesn't perform. But I can't trust him. As you say, we play amateur psychology on all this, don't we? But McIlroy is difficult to trust at the moment. He set up a winning chance in the Olympics. 5 birdies in a row. Looks like he might win gold the way it was going. And then he made a double bogey at the 15th. It's just been like that, hasn't it, over the last few months. From the USPGA onwards, McIlroy backers have needed therapy. I mean, it's been horrendous, isn't it, for McIlroy? For the man himself, I mean, I just think he wants the season to end, so I can't risk McIlroy. I much prefer mine.
Yep. So three selections for Steve. Don't worry if you've missed any of them. We will recap all of the picks, of course, towards the end of this week's Sweet Spot. But we're going to turn our attentions now to LIV Golf. It is the Greenbrier Invitational, which gets underway on Friday. Just the three rounds, of course, for LIV Golf. And it's at the Old White Course, Steve. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, not Father Christmas. The Old White. White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, 7,299 yards, par 70, only two par fives. It staged the Greenbrier Classic, you may remember, on the PGA Tour from 2010 through 2019. And then we had the inaugural LIV Greenbrier 12 months ago. Bryson DeChambeau humiliated the Old White, closed with a 58 last year, 23 under par total. This is a flat, straightforward resort course. There's no wind in the forecast, so this field of 54 should make merry again. Start 6:15 p.m. on Friday, UK time, live on DAZN and LIV Golf Plus, the app.
What Steve just said there about Bryson DeChambeau last year makes the top of the latest show betting a little bit of a surprise, because it's John Rahm who leads the betting at 11-2. DeChambeau is 8-1 along with Joachim Niemann and Tyrrell Hatton. Cameron Smith 12-1 and Louis Oosthuizen 18-1. It's bigger the rest. Two selections for LIV Golf, Steve. Where are we going with the first one?
Yeah, I noticed just before we came on air that AK Betts had just tickled with his market slightly, and Joachim Niemann is now 9-1 with AK Betts, which I think is an absolute stonker of a price. Joachim Niemann has impressed me so much this year. He won in Mayakoba, he won in Jeddah, hardly ever off the LIV Golf leaderboard. 3-6-2 were his results from his last three LIV starts. He tied second in LIV UK. He played some great golf at the Open. Just, you know, he carded an eight. Did you watch the postage stamp? He carded an eight at the postage stamp. So he dropped five shots on one blimmin' hole. Just had a nightmare around the greens at the postage stamp, but still made the cut. That was in round one. Battled to make the cut. Yeah, that he played some good golf at the Open. Don't be fooled by the actual result. Just one whole horror, really. He was ninth in the Olympics last time out. Another creditable display. This is a 25-year-old at the peak of his powers, and he's arrived at a course this week that we know he absolutely loves. Niemann's PGA Tour breakthrough came on this track in the 2019 Greenbrier Classic. That was a six-shot victory. His PGA Tour debut came at this course in 2017, and he finished 29th when he was a complete nobody. Then the following year, he was fifth in the Greenbrier. So nobody has performed better on the Old White on the PGA Tour than Niemann. And then last year in the inaugural LIV Greenbrier, he was 23rd. So I think he's going to win on this course for a second time this week. And one of the main reasons I'm supporting him so strongly is he's got significant, extreme motivation for this. You know, you're talking about Scheffler and Schauffele going off the boil at the end of the season mentally. Niemann will be fiercely competitive this week because he is at the top of the 2024 LIV Golf point standings. Not many people follow him, but I do. And if he retains that position, because I'm a saddo, I do.
You struggle to sleep at night. You need these things.
I'm a saddo who gets very jealous of these LIV golfers and all their wealth. But Joachim Niemann, if he retains that position through the final two events, this is the penultimate event of the LIV Golf season on those individual standings, and then they go to Chicago for the finale next week. If he retains that position, he wins a $18 million bonus check, Wazza. That's a carrot, isn't it? If you're a donkey with $18 million staring in front of you, all you got to do is hold your position. Like, Niemann will be fully switched on for this. Taylor Gooch was the happy recipient of the first bonus check last year. I think Neiman's going to get it this year, but he's got Rahm breathing down his neck. And he's going to gallop for the line.
Just before we look at the second tip for the Greenbrier Invitational, Steve, with what you've seen of Niemann this year, would you say he's a contender for a major next year if he carries on this sort of form?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've always liked Joachim Niemann. You know, former world number one amateur, which you know, I'm obsessed with former world number amateurs. He's always been destined to be a superstar, and he is a superstar. And it was a shame. He was one of the ones that. It was most heartbreaking when he moved from PGA Tour to LIV, because this was a young lad with his whole life ahead of him. And you know, he opted to take the big bucks there. But
he's with $16 million in front of him.
Well, this is it. He's got a big bank balance, but hopefully he'll qualify for the majors next year. That's the problem for your Niemans. Can you qualify for the majors? But if he qualifies for majors, he's a contender for him for sure.
So one more pick then for this week's sweet spot, and it is for LIV Golf Greenbrier Invitational. Who is the second selection here, Steve?
It's David. Well, no, he's not French. David Pooge. David Pooge. I used to call him David Puig, but now I call him David Pooge. You call him whatever you like, Wazza. David Pooge. David Pooge is 35-1 with AK Betts. This is a rising star of world golf, an attacking player, so well suited to the old white. The Spaniard, he's a Spaniard. He finished third in LIV Houston in June, 11th in LIV UK. He won the Malaysian Open on the Asian Tour in February. His Asian Tour record this year has been sensational. He's been going through qualifiers to get in majors. He's played in the US Open. He played in the Open. He keeps himself busy, this lad. He's a hard worker. It's been a hugely impressive campaign. Just to underline that, he started 2023 outside of the top 1,000 of the world rankings, and he tees off this week as world number 133. So bear in mind, LIV Golf events don't get any world ranking points. So it's incredible what he's done. It's because he's been teeing up all over the world to progress his career. Mm. I think he's going to get reward this week potentially, if Niemann underperforms, Pooge could get a maiden LIV Golf title. He finished fourth in LIV Golf Greenbrier last year. He finished 16 under par. Really, really competitive three-round total. It's only because your Bryson DeChambeau's went bananas that he was so far back. But he's returned to a course he likes as a 22-year-old, growing in confidence all the time.
Can't leave the LIV Tour without just asking a quick word on Jon Rahm. Obviously, won at the JCB recently, but then, of course, we had that Olympic meltdown as well.
Yeah.
Where are we at with Jon Rahm at the moment?
Oh, no, absolutely. No, we need to discuss the two names above Niemann in the betting. And Jon Rahm, 11-2 favourite with AK Betts, is not for me. It's his first appearance since that almighty choke at the Olympics. There's no other way of describing what happened at the Olympics. He was miles clear and then suddenly just felt the occasion locked up. His swing was awful from there. And, you know, that was the first time he's contended in a prestigious event, you know, up against all the world's top players since last year's Masters. And, you know, I suspect that Rahm will be really worried about what happened there, because I think there's demons. We've discussed this before on Sweet Spot. I think Rahm's got demons. I think he's worried that LIV Golf has made him a worse player than he was when he was a PGA Tour player. Mm. And his 2024 majors performance, you know, strongly hints at that. And the Olympics, my word, that just added fuel to the flames, I'm sure. I think Rahm hates LIV Golf. I think he hates LIV Golf. I think he thinks that LIV Golf has made him a worse player. He'll obviously never say that in public, but I'm just reading between the lines here. So yeah, I struggle to get enthusiasm for Rahm in LIV events because you know, he doesn't he doesn't like LIV Golf. He doesn't like the music. He doesn't like the drone. He doesn't like the drones. He doesn't like the atmosphere. You know, the lewd conduct.
Yeah. Well, you're going to go see the reaction of his caddy during the JCB event the other week, and actually, that was probably one of the calmer crowds that there's been on the LIV Tour as well. So, it still baffles me that he did make the decision to go there, considering, like you say, all of the background that comes with LIV and everything as well. I'm assuming Bryson DeChambeau was in your thoughts as well, bearing in mind that 58 last year.
The 8-1 DeChambeau, so much harder to turn down than the 11-2 Rahm. It was between Niemann and DeChambeau for the main bet for this. This was my toughest decision of the golfing week, picking between these two. In the end, I've gone with the slightly bigger price. And my hunch that DeChambeau might have a sort of mental struggle this week. Again, you have to put your psychology hat on for these golf events regularly, but particularly for this one. Yeah, the psychological hurdle that DeChambeau's got this week is he can't do any better than he did last year. You know, what's he going to do, a 57? You know, he has to card a 57 to beat his round score last year. He was 23 under par for 54 holes. You know, if he starts with a few pars this time, you know, he's going to feel infuriated, isn't he? I don't know. It's not going to play as soft as it did last year. You know, DeChambeau loved it. It was a bit of a quagmire at times last year, and that helped him. Drier in the build-up this time. So I don't know. I think there'll be a lot of early focus on DeChambeau this week. A lot of 58 chat. And as I say, I think the weight of expectation might get to him. But this is a pretty flimsy psychological reason for opposing him. You could back Neiman and DeChambeau if you've got deep pockets. I don't like to put too much pressure on punters.
No, but you also pointed out quite rightly, Steve, as well, that Joaquin Neiman is slightly bigger price now at 9-1 with AK Betts. That is the temptation of it, you know, to see if Neiman can carry on his form of recent weeks. He is one of two selections for Steve from the Liv Greenbrier Invitational. Overall, a 5-3-2 formation for Mr. Palmer this week. Steve, can you just recap your selection, starting with the Czech Masters?
It's a 5-3-2 formation with Austrian wingbacks, and we know how effective the Austrian wingbacks are, don't we? From the, they'll be bombing down the flank. So, yeah, Czech Masters, Tom McKibben, Bernd Wiesberger, Daniel Brown, Lucas Nemec, and Matthias Schwab.
Now we have got a hat-trick of tips for the FedEx and Jude Championship, and they are...
Patrick Cantlay, Hideki Matsuyama, Adam Scott.
And we've got two big men up front, but maybe not so big in terms of the Liv Greenbrier Invitational. Who are the two selections for Liv?
Joaquim Neiman and David Puge.
All this football talk has got me thinking, because I've just noticed that Weymouth are at home for the first time this weekend. And with your kids returning, will that mean that you're going or you're not going to go to the game?
I would love to go and I hope to go. I've got lots of relatives coming to stay this weekend. I'm not sure how many are staying at our house, but maybe they're just staying locally. But I've got lots of hosting to do, but I would be very keen to go to that Weymouth game. I've been loving my football. I watched a lot of football at the weekend. We'll have a big chat after. There's lots of championship football. I've got lots to discuss with you about that after. Yeah, hopefully I can go to that. But I mean, my main focus at the weekend will be the McKibben, Cantlay, Neiman each way treble. That is a face spitter for me if that comes in. And I see no reason why it won't.
The football talk just allows me a lovely link to say that the new football podcast from the Racing Post, which I'll be presenting, is taking place this week. It's The Assist. And we can look forward to seeing that on the Racing Post YouTube channel. I'm pleased to say I'll be back next week. Dave Clark's having an extended holiday of 2 weeks. Do we know where he's gone, Steve, by the way?
I think he's gone to Lanzarote. Says, No. Welcome back. We'll have more championship football chat next week then, was it? You can discuss Birmingham. Birmingham cost me a pretty penny on Saturday, but we live and learn.
A few people, to be honest. Yeah, that's it then for this week's Sweet Spot. Thank you all very much for watching. We really, really appreciate your comments as well. Please like, comment, share and subscribe. Remember, of course, to gamble responsibly. Myself and Steve then will be back next Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel to preview three more cracking tournaments: the AIG Women's Open, the Danish Golf Championship and the BMW Championship. Don't miss that. But as I say, please gamble responsibly and enjoy your golf this week.